everything that you're doing should have the business plan in mind. Because after all, once you close, that's what this whole thing is about. It's about managing that business plan, managing this property, operating it. So the business plan and operations are one of the most important things.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another Multifamily Monday episode. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. What is going on, everybody? You know the drill. Coming at you all things multifamily real estate investing every Monday. First, say I hope everyone had a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. Give a little remembrance to all those who lost their lives serving this wonderful country. Without them, we would not have the freedoms and the privileges that we have in this country and that I feel people often taken for granted. And so I just want to give a little moment of silence here for those who lost their lives serving this country. Again, thank you for those who lost their lives serving this country. And then again, for those that have served and continue to serve, we are forever indebted to you all. Thank you. Today, I want to get in to a quick topic here, another solo episode. I'm kind of going to do a series here going forward. It'll be sprinkled in with interviews, but I kind of want to get everyone a feel of what it's like or what you should be doing once you get that LOI signed, right? I've always talked about how to get deal flow, how to increase deal flow, how to find a good deal, and then obviously submit your LOI. But what happens actually once you catch that fish, right? You get that LOI signed. Kind of what happens next. The last episode I did in this style was on doing a property tour. And I will link that in the show notes below. If you haven't listened to it, you should. But what you should be doing on a property tour, right? Because that's important too. Before you submit an LOI, this isn't just a numbers game. This isn't just, it looks good on the spreadsheet. Kind of readjust your, maybe your CapEx budget a little bit once you get a feel of the property. How does that property actually make you feel when you step on site? Are you feel safe? Do you think you can actually implement the business plan that you had in mind? And so on and so forth. So check out that episode. But today's episode is once you get that LOI signed, what is next? And what we use is an online-based software called Monday.com. You might also be familiar with another product called Asana, does the same thing. And we use this to manage our workflows in many different capacities. But specifically for this one, once after an LOI is accepted, it's kind of a checklist of the key things you should be doing. And this has morphed over time, right? When we first started out, we didn't have anything. It was just kind of by the seat of our pants, right? And it's kind of morphed over time where we've gotten more organized, more diligent, more proactive. And as time goes on, as you do more deals, you pick up different nuances that you need to be taking into consideration when you're closing a deal. And again, every deal is different. So there are going to be different nuances, different steps you need to take. We keep adding to this list. And again, some of the items won't pertain to certain deals, but it's good to have them there so you can make sure you're checking that to see if it is applicable. So once that LOI is accepted, first thing we do is engage our attorney, right? We need to let them know that we have an LOI accepted. We're going to need PSA drafted. And we always put in our LOIs that we draft the PSA. So it's not coming from the seller, it's coming from us. So we engage our attorney. He starts drafting it up. Obviously, it's based off the LOI, right? Your PSA is based off major bullet points, major items in your LOI. That's what goes in your PSA. But you want to have a conversation of what items in this deal are really hot button topics for you and what you really want to focus on, kind of some mechanisms that your attorney can use to get that, right? So that's who you're going to really engage first. And then also you're going to engage your, if you're raising capital, your investor list, give them kind of that excitement, like, hey, we got a signed LOI, more to come. At that time, you can give them some high-level info about the deal, the numbers, where it is, obviously, kind of what the business plan is. In talking about business plans, too, is I feel like this gets forgotten or overlooked quite a bit with a lot of people. And maybe that's just lack of experience or just so much going on that this kind of falls in the background until you get closer to close, but it shouldn't. And that is the business plan. I just referenced the business plan. That should always be your focus throughout this whole process. Everything that you're doing should have the business plan in mind. Because after all, once you close, that's what this whole thing is about. It's about managing that business plan, managing this property, operating it. Because if you don't do that, it doesn't matter how good the property is, how good the location is, quality of the property, tenant base, the market itself, it doesn't matter. If you're not able to execute on that business plan, there's a great chance that things are not going to go well. They're not going to go smoothly. They could go actually pretty poorly. So the business plan and operations are one of the most important things, if not the most important thing. It's definitely the most important thing once you close. But that's why it should be in the forefront of everything. So every decision you're making when you're doing due diligence, that's what you should be thinking about. It's not just looking at like the quality of the units, you're doing your lease audit, your financial audit. Those are important in and of itself, but it all should be at the angle, at the lens of what is your business plan. Because after all, that's all going to dictate if you can do your business plan or how you're going to do your business plan. This is very important. So again, going through from day one of LOI signed, PSA signed to close, that what it should look like, right? I want to mention, we always put business days, right? So both on our due diligence period, our escrow period, business days. Pretty obvious reason we do it, you get more days out of it because you put calendar days, that includes weekends. Another reason we do it is you can't get as much done on weekends. Yes, you and I, me and the GP team can work on weekends and we do, but not everyone does that. So if we need to call a contractor, get a contractor on site, if we need to get on site, we need to engage our lender, that's not going to happen, right? It's very rare that any of that's going to happen over a weekend, right? People have weekends off and they do their own thing. They don't care about your deal, right? They'll wait till a business day, right? So that's another reason we do it, because there's only so much you can do on a weekend in terms of closing a deal. So that's why we put in business days. So I'll bring this up again, but I just wanted to preface it with that. So some things you really want to look at once the LOI is signed. And for those that aren't familiar with the process, it can take 1 to 2 weeks once the LOI is signed. You know, the way we do it, as I said, our attorney drafts up the PSA, sends over the first draft to their attorney, the seller's attorney, and they're going to do something called the red line, where they go in and red light things that they want changed. Sometimes it can just be verbiage. Maybe there's grammatical error. And then there's things that are actually of substance, of importance, that they don't want this. Maybe you put in kind of an occupancy threshold that needs to be met up until closing. Maybe they don't like that and they red line it out, right? So they do things like that. Then they send the PSA back to your attorney and you get on a phone call with your attorney and you go over the things that were redlined, the things that you're willing to concede on or things that you're not willing to concede on. And then you make your red line and send it back. And this can go back and forth a few times. Hopefully not too many, right? Costs will go up because attorneys get paid by the hour. But it'll go back and forth a few times. And again, that can take 1 to 2 weeks. And then once it's executed, meaning once both parties agree, they sign, you sign, it's executed. And then you got to get your earnest money over. And that'll be stated in the PSA, how many days it is. Usually it's a couple days to get funds over, and usually it's held by a title company. And so that's another step that you need to be taking, is engaging a title company. That's usually done, at least how we do it, by our attorney. They set up with the title company. If it's a market they've done business in before, they probably have a title company that they really like working with. So they'll recommend that. If not, I would say it's up to you to find what's a good title company and ask other local investors what they use if this is a new market to you. Engage the title company, that's where you're going to wire your earnest money deposit, and then the clock ticks, right? And what I mean by that, as I referenced earlier with business days, in today's market, you're most likely not going hard from day one of signing the PSA, unlike the last 3 years where it was super competitive and everyone, you had to go. You weren't going to be unever accepted if you didn't go hard day one of signing the PSA. Luckily, for the most part, that's in the past. I've still seen it here and there for people who really want the deal, don't want to compete on price, want to compete on terms. We'll do that. For the most part, it hasn't been necessary in the last few months, last 6+ months, more like actually 8 to 9 months. But anyways, the reason why this is important and why I alluded to the business days over calendar days before is that clock starts ticking until your money goes hard, right? So like in a recent LOI we signed, earnest money goes in and it goes hard at the end of due diligence period, which for us is generally 30 business days. So that clock starts ticking, right? So you've got 30 business days. Everything you need to get done, you're obviously, the biggest thing is get your lender in order, right? And to be cleared by the end of those 30 days. So then the money goes hard, you're getting that funding and obviously engaging your equity slice too, if you're raising it, not bringing your own money. But there's also a lot of other things to get done as well. So I'm going to more focus on kind of the due diligence aspect of it. So those 30 business days, not necessarily what happens after that and all the raising money. I'll do another segment on that when we go over webinars, how to funnel them in, to get them into your portal, and so on and so forth, and how to wire, and so on and so forth. So today, let's kind of talk about the due diligence period. So at this point, you've wired the money, or the PSA is signed, you've wired the money, due diligence is starting. And I recommend doing this before the PSA is signed, and that's engaging contractors you want to use. Get 2 to 3 for each kind of contractor, right? So roofer, plumber, electrician, so on and so forth, right? Get a few. Already engage them, tell them we're going to need you on X date. Assume that you're going to get the PSA signed at this point, right? So they can actually get on property and talk with the broker when the earliest you could do that. But just engage these guys, engage inspector. Even if there's no contingent on inspection, it's important to bring an inspector in so you know, like, there's some major plumbing issues or roofing issues. If you're going to have to deal with those kind of big ticket items, foundation issues, just so you can either not go forward with it because your money hasn't got hard, or know that you're going to have to allocate extra CapEx to that. So engage them as soon as possible. Coordinate site visit. You want early access as soon as possible. And then you want to get on site, obviously, right? So what are some of the things we want to be doing here? Obviously, we want to review financial documents. So income statement, balance sheet, rent rolls, tax returns. And depending on how long they've owned the property, there's only so much you're going to get if they've only owned it for 1 to 2 years versus 5+. And obviously, if they've owned it, you know, less, you want to understand why they're selling. Because that could be a reason maybe you don't want to buy, but you probably hopefully already tackled this to an extent before you've executed the PSA. But obviously, that's still something you want to pursue further just to make sure you're comfortable with it, especially since your money hasn't gone hard. So, you know, you do have that time. And you really want to audit all of this, right? Make sure everything is lining up. Look at the utilities. So really matching the income statement. You want to do a lease audit on the rent roll, the months, how many 12-month leases, your AR reports, your accounts receivable, like what's the delinquencies and payments. And you really want to look at every single lease and make sure it matches up what they're telling you from term, obviously rate, the name, and you want to see if they have any credit background checks on these individuals. Hopefully they do. You just want to get a real picture of your tenant base and what you're dealing with. And again, within the lens of your business plan, what you need to do to achieve that. Number two, obviously inspect property condition. This is when you're going to be on site and you want to walk through every single unit. I don't care. You want to get into every single unit and make sure you get in every single unit. Usually there's like a buyer questionnaire before you executed the LOI. In that, I always put, we need to walk every single unit. And then if there's any questions or pushback, I allude to that buyer's questionnaire and say, I put it in this questionnaire that that's what we do and what we need to do. Because that's important, right? So building property, condition of it, you want to see roofs, obviously, foundation, plumbing, electrical. HVAC's important if you're investing in warmer climates. So when we invest in the Southeast, that's a big thing. Not as big when we invest in New England, because in New Hampshire, because not a lot of buildings have AC. Newer ones will, but a lot of don't. But obviously, you still want to take a look at heating because that is big in the place. Take a look at the common areas. Big thing is talking with the maintenance guys. If this is a bigger unit and they have on-site maintenance, what are some of the big maintenance order requests, right? What are some of the big things that they're taking care of? And it doesn't have to be like big in terms of dollar amount or big jobs, but like frequency. Like, oh, we're getting a lot of calls on HVACs or garbage disposals. You just want to get a sense of, okay, this is something I may want to focus on in my CapEx and my renovations to alleviate those work orders. And then obviously, like I said, walk every single unit. This is really important for your business plan, especially if this is a value add play where you're renovating units. This is where you're going to come in with a fine tooth comb and see what really needs to be done in majority of these units so you can really pinpoint this number, what you need to spend in CapEx. Especially if you're using a lender that's going to finance a portion of it, they're going to want a detailed report on why, say, $500,000. Why? Where is that all being allocated to? And when you're here, you should have construction management team or contractors to really give you a solid bid. Now, it might not be the final bid, but a solid quote that is not going to change by over 5%. Hopefully less than that. Hopefully a lot less than that. Hopefully it's right on par, but not going to deviate like that. And what we do when we walk into units, and I think this is crucial just to stay organized. And this is, again, all uploaded to monday.com in our workflow. It's also uploaded, depending on if we're using Dropbox or Microsoft OneDrive, it's all uploaded there so it can be easily accessed. When you're walking into a unit, first thing you do is you take a picture of the front door with, hopefully it has a number plate. So this is unit 10. And then you take that to the first picture, and then all pictures after that are for that unit. So then you come in, obviously take all the pictures, common area, living room, bedrooms, kitchen, bathroom, mechanicals, plumbing, all the important stuff that you can take pictures of. And then once you leave that unit, then you go to the next unit. And the first picture you're going to take, which is the next picture in your camera roll, is that front door with a number plate. So they're bookended. So you know anything after unit 10 is photos of unit 10. And then up until you get to pick the picture of unit number 11. And then anything after that is unit 11, which is a great way to stay organized. It might sound pretty obvious and intuitive after I've said that, but I've seen people that are not organized in that sense when they're doing due diligence. And it's just been a really great strategy for us. So yeah, again, we're walking every unit. If it's a bigger property, we have teams, right? So it's not like I try to see as many units as I can, but sometimes it's just not feasible. If you're doing 200 units, I try to walk every single unit, but sometimes it just doesn't work that way. Sometimes I want to go in and see what's going on with the lease audit, financial statement audit, or I'm outside with a contractor. Stuff happens, right? So we have teams, and then we can tackle it really fast and then go in later and look at the photos. And we break down what we need. We're obviously taking, okay, there's 100 HVACs. 20 of them will definitely need to be replaced. 15 might need some repairs, and remaining seem pretty good for the next couple of years. And we'll just take that type of inventory, so then we can go back to the when we're doing our CapEx budget and really hammer that home. And same thing with the units. 20 units are going to need new front plates of the cabinets, right? They're not going to need full cabinets. 15 are going to need completely new cabinets. 10 are going to need new countertops. 75 are going to need new flooring. All are going to need new paint, so on and so forth. And you take those tallies and you come back and you can really, again, pinpoint and narrow in on what the CapEx budget is going to be. And not only is this important for the lender and also for how much you need to raise and really understand that, but it's also important for your business plan and going back to how you underwrote it. Do these two things match up? And if they don't, is it still feasible? And hopefully at this point, you've done enough deals that you're not way off with your original initial numbers and initial tour, right? But this just helps you really pinpoint everything and get comfortable with that. And again, this is all from the lens of the business plan. Does this match what we need to do? And if not, if we need to pivot, does this still make sense? And sometimes that'll happen. I'll be like, actually, I think we need to go this way with the business plan. It's still going to work, but it's important to come at from that lens. You're not just there to check a box and be like, all right, we're going to need 20 units with new flooring, 50 with new paint. Like, not that just there to check the box. It's there like, what's going to be the ROI now? If I have to put X dollars into this, these amount of units and get this rent bump, is it worth it? Or can I just do just a turn, just a basic turn with clean it, fresh paint, and I can get X number of rent increase because we've been so below the market? Well, maybe that's a better ROI and that's the way to go. These are things you need to be thinking of when you're doing this. Next is evaluate lease agreements. I mentioned that earlier. I'm going to look at all lease agreements, noting the terms, rental rates, the expirations, any outstanding tenant issues, again, accounts receivable and delinquencies. Obviously, you want to hammer on and see, okay, the potential opportunities for rent increases. You've probably done that homework, but really is when you really can see where it's moving, what their recent rents they signed have been, and if that's in line with where you think it can go. And sometimes they're just keeping it low because they want to turn over or they want to fill it up quick. So don't always take what they've recently signed is the top. It might not be. It's good to check this. Obviously, you want to be assessing market conditions, checking out the local area if you're not familiar with it. You really want to be asking both the leasing agent, the manager of the property, PM team, maintenance guys. You want to be asking them all questions like, how do they feel the market? How's the traffic been? And then with the maintenance guys, how the work orders, obviously. And I always ask all of them individually, if they had the checkbook and they could make the decision, first ask what's the top thing that they would want to change. And then after that, I say, okay, what's the next two? What are your top three? And then they let you know. And this is great because if it's a bigger property, their staff, they're on property every business day, right? So they know the ins and outs of the property. They know what it needs. They know what can make their life easier. So from a leasing agent's perspective, what's going to make their life easier for leasing? Property manager, obviously, what's going to improve the quality of living for the residents and the maintenance? What's going to make his life easier? So maybe there's not as many work orders, which is great because you don't have to spend as much money. So these are all important questions to be asking while you're there. Obviously, meet with property management, evaluate kind of their team and see if you want to keep them on. or if you want to bring them over to yours, really kind of engage what they feel has worked, what hasn't worked, opportunities of the property, problems of the property, and just be aware sometimes they, at this point, they get checked out, especially if they know that you're not going to be bringing them back on, they kind of check out. But it's important to still work with them, kind of engage them, reinvigorate them to an extent to make sure they're operating the property as if they weren't leaving. All very important things. And you obviously want to, with the lease agreement, you're going to assess tenant quality and retention. So it's important. You don't want high turnover, you know, quality of tenants. Are they actually paying? Are they paying the property? Do they feel like this is their home and they want it to be a great looking property that's taken care of? That's so important. Next, review zoning and legal compliance. Obviously, your attorney's going to do this. Title doesn't look up title, but really just leave no stone unturned. You don't obviously want to get into a situation that where your property doesn't comply with local zoning regulations or building codes. It's just really important to stay ahead of that. And then obviously, the last thing, and this has kind of been the scope of what I've been talking about, is consider what is the future potential? Does it align with your business plan? Again, this is what you should be doing from the start. While you're doing this, you should be organizing the takeover, what that's going to look like, how it's going to work, the parties that need to be involved. And you should be engaging those parties at this point all the way throughout, keeping them updated on the timeline. Any calls they need to be on with you and your team. This isn't just sign the closing docs and let's hope this goes well. This is, we're signing closing docs this day. I need you, your team, her team, his team, all ready to go on X date, X time. This is the plan. There's even times where you can ask the seller if you could actually start on your business plan ahead of time. Maybe that's renovating units. And there's definitely going to be sellers that will turn that down, but I have yet to see it. And to me, it makes no sense. If I was the seller, sure. You're going to come and put money into this property before we even close. And if you don't close, okay, I guess nice renovated units on your dime. Yeah. Now, I know this won't work for everybody, especially if you're raising some of the money ahead of the time. Or if you don't have access to that capital or if you're getting it financed, it might make it tougher. But as soon as you can start this business plan, the best. Like, it shouldn't be take over the property and then, okay, let's organize how we're going to do this. No, you've already organized how you're going to do this. So as soon as you take over the property, it's implemented that minute you walk on property. And I'll get into like what that looks like as well, like when you take it over. We're not talking about that today. But today is just more about due diligence from after that PSA is signed, why the money, what it looks like, because you do that clock starts ticking. And this is a time, like this checklist we use on monday.com is so important because it's so easy in anything, but especially in this, to overstep stuff, right? And all along the way, this, you're going to be meeting with your GP team or general partner team. Maybe it's just you. Maybe like for us, maybe it's just Greenbrier, so we don't have to. If you have other parties in your team, this would be something you're meeting with weekly, obviously, engaging your investors. And again, I'll have a separate episode on that. This is where you really need to be organized because you're going to be getting so many emails from different people, from your attorney, from if you're dealing with a broker, from the broker, from all the different contractors. If you're doing a syndication, your syndication attorney, there's going to be so many emails flying back and forth, calls, that is really important to be organized. That'll make or break. So guys, I hope there's some value in this. I just wanted to come on and share what we do during our due diligence. And I showed a little detail, but there's still so many nuances and detail that this could be an hour plus long episode. So I just kind of wanted to hit it from top level and sprinkle on some details and go in depth here and there. But again, every deal is different. Every deal has its own nuances. And it's just important to stay organized. That's the number one thing. That and communication with everyone involved. So thank you for tuning in as always, guys. Remember, as always, easy doesn't pay well and instant gratification is self-destructive. So not only get out there and work hard for your money, but have it work hard for you so we can create the lives of our dreams and we can make this world a better place. All right, everybody, catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.